it's just a rap thing.
And we're back with episode 31 of The Sounds of Struggle. Perhaps this episode should be the Price Edition?
Or maybe the Post-Coital Edition.
Why that?
Because of triple X equals porn.
But it's 31.
Post-coital. After sex.
Yeah, but that's usually when I just leave the house.
Then we're leaving to do the podcast. Huh.
And I'm Chris Parrish.
I'm Winston Churchill. I don't know. I had nothing.
I'm Tobias Reeder.
Yes, I'm Elias Sampson.
And I'm Tom Coonhackle.
I'm Tom Bergeron.
I'm a little bit of all right.
And you
Esquire.
Are, and you are also CWC champion.
Of the galaxy.
Yeah, we'll go for that one now, I guess.
The champion of your anus.
Not of my anus, but of your anus, yes.
Oh, of all the anus.
That's a lot of anus. There are some anuses that are not meant to be championed.
Speaking of anus, let's divulge right into WWE, where the Usos made reference to Paige in the fun rap battle with the New Day.
Which, by the way, fantastic. Very well done.
Yes.
I enjoyed that. They both got their licks in. They both had some good one-liners. I enjoyed it.
I actually think the Usos won on that one.
I don't think they won. I don't know. Because
I thought the New Day was very bland on their things, while the Usos actually had entertaining material.
I disagree. I think Big E's is okay. Kofi Kingston's is okay. But I think Xavier Woods actually did all right.
Well, yeah. Xavier Woods did the best out of the three, but the Usos nailed it every time.
I agree.
And they only had the two times, whereas New Day still got three, so...
You know what? I agree. I think the New Day did not win that, but I think Xavier Woods was definitely the standout there. He brought it with the comments about Naomi being the only reason that one Uso, which I can't remember if it's Jay or Jimmy, is still relevant, which is good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. It was fun. I enjoyed that. And props to whoever was officiating that, whatever that guy's name was.
Wale?
Sure. Yeah, Wally. Yeah. Whatever.
Whale.
Well, yeah.
Props. Kind of looks like Whoopi Goldberg.
Props to Whoopi Whale. And his
Whaleberg.
Yeah, his impartial yet entertaining way of keeping everything good. He did all right.
Speaking a little bit all right, we'll stay with Paige because apparently she may or may not be the destiny of
El Patron.
Yeah. Because outside of the are they together, are they broken up, are they together, are they broken up rumors, apparently there is now domestic violence, and it's circled around Paige and Alberto El Patron.
Yeah, so what I read was apparently she had received some distressing news about her family back in the ye olde England, and she was very upset, and some female fan tried to take a picture with her and Del Rio at... I think they were...
El Patron.
Whatever. Alberto L. drinks too much tequila. Whatever. Anyways.
We need to get him on this podcast.
Yes, we do. Well, no. I prefer beer. Tequila's not really my thing. But anyways. I guess he told this lady to...
Viva la cerveza.
Por favor. He told this lady to basically to fuck the right off. And she threw a drink at him, and then they contacted police, and that's where this domestic violence battery comes from. Domestic violence with batteries. It's a thing.
Triple A, double A. We don't know.
Triple H batteries.
Yes, Triple H batteries. And this only brings us to even more.
Segways are fantastic.
Yeah, this only brings us to more rumors going on, but this is really a rumor. Alberto El Patron actually tweeted
that he wants to bring Triple H and New Day to his restaurant, which apparently I didn't know he
had. And the Usos.
And the Usos? Okay.
And
To his restaurant, which I didn't even know he had one.
Yep.
To apparently kick their ass because of the whole Paige comment on the rap battle.
Well, and apparently...
Which just ties this whole thing in a very nice bow.
Well, he also thinks Triple H is a coward slash pussy to begin with.
Yeah, he threw that word around several times.
Yeah, so, yeah. Remember, it's his word, not ours, Triple H. We still want you to employ us.
Yes, but I honestly, I don't know that... I don't know that WWE knew about what the Usos were going to say about that.
Well, because I heard that that segment got edited for the second time. Played.
Yeah.
Or it was in the, you know, Canada area.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know, because I don't think they actually cleared that, and they just said it, which was fantastic. If they didn't clear that,
it was
good for them.
It was a touch of awesome mixed in with a batch of a little bit of all right.
A huge dollop of a little bit of all right.
That was a flavor that definitely was, tasted.
Spicy.
Oh, it was...
She was spicy, boy!
Yeah. So, when you want a little bit of drama, Alberto, El Patron, and Paige are the ones to,
There seem to be tons of excess drama.
Now, here's an idea. Can people just leave them alone? Like, is that actually a thing? Could they even do that? Because it seems like no matter what...
I bet you anything, if you left them alone, they'd find a way to still be in the news.
Because I just feel like people can't accept the fact they're together. Or that they still need to know every little aspect about their life.
I think part of it, too, is that because they actually secretly love it. I think that's honestly why. I think they love being in the spotlight. I think that's what it is.
I think, too, like, from a wrestling standpoint, it's the one in few times you actually see WWE, TNA, now GFW crossover, just because Paige was, I guess, at ringside wearing a lucha mask during the last GFW pay-per-view.
She wasn't the only... It's not the only time she wore that.
No.
I'm sure there's some videos out there of her wearing only that.
What do you mean? There's videos of Paige on the internet?
Sexually.
Interesting.
Yes, look them up. It's a little bit of all right.
Damn. Man. You know what? If there's videos of her, I only hope that she has the taste to at least be involved with somebody who has a PhD.
And do butt stuff.
Yeah. You know, a black person would be great. Not that I'm saying, like, a white person wouldn't have been able to do the
job.
You're
being reverse racist.
Well, it's, yeah, I'm just saying. It would definitely make a little bit of headway.
Yeah.
So, I think moving on from, that issue, one can only go into, Great Balls of Fire.
That's what happens with that. That's, you know what? That's probably why El Patron is so crotchety.
Because
his balls are greatly on fire.
See, I mean, there's probably tequila in there as well.
Not to mention that Paige is a whore.
And,
which is a little bit of all right.
Yeah, I mean, she brings the fire. He has the tequila. And we all know tequila just makes the flames bigger.
Makes several things bigger.
Yeah. So, yeah, this brings us to Dags Ruggles' official review of Great Balls of Fire.
Brought to you by whatamaneuver.net, where you can get all of our clothing, which we'll go into later. And by First Round, drinks, beer, burgers, sports. It's got it all.
And I believe they also won an award last week.
Yes, they are now the award-winning sports bar.
So when you're in Edmonton and you need a place to go for a bite, remember First Round. It's a little bit of all right.
Trademark.
Yeah. Suckers. So we start off with the kickoff match between Neville defending his Cruiserweight title against Tozawa.
Before we get into this, I want to point out I just got off night shifts all weekend, so I watched it today and slept through half of it. So, yeah. Anyways, this match was all right. Finished a little eh, but it was alright.
Yeah, I thought the match itself was really good, and it was kind of one of those matches where it's like, man, if they just, you know, if they give us everything like this, I don't want to watch a second one, because I don't know how they're going to top it. But at the same time, I really liked what I saw. But at the end of the day, it was Tozawa's on the rope, a top rope. The referee is, you know, kind of distracted, and then Neville takes advantage and kicks the rope into the crotch of Tozawa.
Which, wouldn't that be a disqualification?
Not if the ref doesn't see it.
I guess.
Yeah. So with that, Tozawa comes back down, and this is kind of where we're talking about with the finish. It looked like the ref took too long to communicate between Neville and Tozawa, because he kind of made sure Neville gave him space a couple times, and then ended up, Tozawa got back up to his feet only to take a spinning heel kick to, you know, the gut area.
Solar plexus.
Yeah. So, and then that was the 1-2-3. So it just seemed like a very sudden finish. And it just seemed like perhaps something went wrong there. But as a result, these two actually do work very well together.
Indeed.
I think Tozawa, he also had Titus O'Neil at ringside, which I don't know, like, it didn't really seem like it mattered, because, I mean, there wasn't really much Titus O'Neil involved.
He's still too much of a face to really use.
Is he a face?
I'd say so, yeah.
I don't know.
Crowd seems to be pretty behind him.
They react to him when he's not in the ring. They react to him more in the segments, I find. But nonetheless, it just didn't seem like he added anything to this match. But with that said, Neville picks up the cheap 1-2-3 and retains his Cruiserweight title. And then apparently they have a segment later where Tozawa tells Titus that he needs to get the rematch made and he wants it for Monday Night Raw, which is tonight, which we are filming on the Monday night.
We are taping on the Monday, and it's currently 17:52. Take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, it's not 5:52 at all, people.
No, 17.
Yeah. It's 2. 17.
The average age of people we try to pick up.
Well,
unless they're cops.
Yeah. Then we try to make sure that they're at least 19.
98.
Yeah.
Ew.
Let's just say our favorite cop in 98 is Jerry Seggs. He's a nasty boy.
Among other things.
So anyway, and this takes us to the first match of the pay-per-view.
Which I think was probably, I missed the women's match, the tag match, and most of the Intercontinental match.
Yeah.
But what I saw, this was a good one. I enjoyed this.
Yeah, the beginning match had Seth Rollins taking on Bray Wyatt, and actually, this is only their second one-on-one match ever.
Ever!
Of all the time. The other one came in on May 15th, and Bray Wyatt won with a disqualification.
That son of a bitch.
You just give them back their history with the Shield and the Wyatt family. Nicely, this feud had nothing actually to do with that. They don't reference this at all, but it was pretty much, you know, I didn't really like how this feud started, but I did enjoy the fact that this is a thing.
Yes.
But the fact that Seth Rollins questions that Bray Wyatt is a god or anything like that, it seems like it really touches Bray Wyatt in the wrong way.
Yes. Show us the doll where he touched you, Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. But anyway, the match, these two very much have chemistry together.
And biology.
Yeah. And a little bit of physics.
Yes.
Scientifically, this match was good. Or in the words of Booker T, it's good.
Yeah.
And shucky ducky, quack, quack.
That's sure.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That might be my favorite Booker T quote.
No, that's terrible.
But anyway, so anyway, the result came when Rollins is kind of getting the upper advantage on Wyatt. He sells to the outside. Rollins goes to pick him up. Thumb to the eyes. Wyatt comes back in. Sister Abigail, 1-2-3. Rollins is mad because he knows he, you know, he got the finger
messed
in the
up.
Well, I mean, it was a cheat win. So, I mean, already to begin this pay-per-view, you had back-to-back screwy finishes, which, you know, I think the fans at this point now is like, okay, give us something here. So,
what are you going to do for me, Vince?
Yeah. But at the end of the day, I mean, it definitely shows that the Wyatt-Rollins feud is going to keep going, which is good because it's only at the beginning stage. I don't really know where you would lead next to with one of these at this, or one of these two guys at the end.
I think eventually it'll lead to a title, number one contendership, or a title of some sort.
Yeah, I'm not really too sure. So
maybe the cruiserweight title.
Yeah, but I'm glad that these two are going to keep it going. So that for me was good. I mean, yes. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
It was all right. I mean, I enjoyed the match. I like what they did with each other. Clearly, the feud itself is not done. I'm not sure. Besides them kind of doing a Seth Rollins babyface chase now, just kind of to prove, I guess, to himself, to the fans, I'm not really sure where else they can go with this. But I do have some faith in the WWE writers. Not a lot, but some. Because they can pull out some good stuff. I will be watching this going forward to see what they do. I'm sure they'll carry it on somehow tonight.
Yeah, so it'll be very interesting. Obviously, we're recording before Monday Night Raw starts up.
4 minutes before.
So, anyway,
leads into the Enzo Amore Big Cass match, which was
a squash.
Yeah.
I mean, first off,
exactly what I expected, and pretty much the second most wasteful match on the card.
Well, kind of here's my thing. It really put an exclamation point right on it. I don't understand why you would have a match that only lasted this long when you had the build-up the way they did. I mean, they've had years upon years upon years of being a tag team.
That's like 5 years.
Yeah, at least, two? On the main roster?
A year and a half, at least.
Well, because they debuted the day after WrestleMania 31?
Yes, I guess pretty much 2 years.
Yeah, so...
They plus had another 2-3 years in NXT?
Yeah.
About 5 years?
So, yeah. So the fact that it just seems like it's a one-and-done kind of a deal within just a matter of, what,
because,
2 weeks?
I don't know, this should have been the pre-show card. That cruiserweight match could have easily been on the main.
I felt this was just something that was rushed from day one. And I honestly don't think that this should have even been on the show. They should have let this be a continuation of the feud. Only, you know, had this been like a SummerSlam match and cultivated there, I would have bought it a lot more.
Yeah.
But anyway, Big Cass, you know, gets new music, gets new, basically gets the makeover here.
Which, it is weird, because him going from being so entertaining with Enzo to straight-faced heel, which, I mean, that's the direction they want to go. That's fine. But it just... I personally don't think it did anything for either guy.
No. Enzo did come out first. You know, took the mic like he normally does. Doesn't ever fail on a promo.
No, he's fantastic at those.
But
can't deny that.
But I don't think there's much more to be said than his Monday Night Raw one.
No, that one was...
So...
That basically encapsulated everything.
Therefore, I don't see the point of that promo. I didn't think it added to the match. But I guess it gave him extra time, which I thought they could have used to at least give Enzo a fighting chance.
He basically bear-hugged Big Cass and then gave him a couple shots to the stomach and then got his ass royally kicked.
Yeah, and you can't teach that.
Well, yeah.
Bada bing, bada boom. Squash this guy in the room. How you doing?
Don't know why that was on the card, but I'm okay, yeah. I guess.
Anyways,
how are you?
So, we've obviously spent more time talking about the match than this match was, so...
True, moving on.
Yep.
Next one was, what, the women's match? I think this is where basically I fell asleep.
No, the next match was the 30-minute Iron Man match for the Raw Tag Team titles, which pretty much the team who gets the most falls after 30 minutes gets the tag team titles. So
I will give you my synopsis. I read that the Bar won, and they won 4-3, and that's all I know because I slept through it.
Yeah. So anyway, right at the beginning of the match, we saw pretty much a bro kick. Boom. 1-2-3.
20 seconds in. I did read that.
Yeah, so Cesaro You know, Chargers deducts a clothesline as Sheamus falls right up and nails a bro kick on Matt Hardy. 20 seconds in, Sheamus and Cesaro goes up 1-0. Speaking of what, there were a lot of Brother Nero chants during this match.
That's a little bit of all right. Hopefully it works.
Yeah, so obviously the rumors that, you know, the Hardy boys are close, or at least Matt Hardy is close to getting the broken gimmick win in the lawsuit. Apparently the fans are, you know, really keen on them because the broken brilliance is really, really over right now in the WWE universe.
A little bit.
So anyway, we kind of come back and, you know, Cesaro, Sheamus, they can pretty much control this match.
Didn't they go up like 3-1 or something at one point, or?
Yeah, so anyway, they get
a sizable lead.
A double team move, and they get up to 2-0. So then now you're just kind of like, okay, now is this kind of going to be just a squash match, or like, you know, how is this going to play out? And then boom, pretty much Matt hits Sheamus with side effect. Jeff gets tagged, Twist of Fate, you know, on Cesaro. Boom, it's now 2-1.
Right.
So, I mean, these pins basically just came out of left field here.
They came out of nowhere.
Yeah. And then, so anyway, Sheamus and Cesaro then put the heat kind of on Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy kind of is out of the ring. They kind of go for like the count out here. And as Sheamus is in the ring, Matt Hardy's trying to get back up. But as he's getting back up, Cesaro throws him to the ring post and gets counted out. And then it becomes a 3-1 deficit.
Hooray!
For Sheamus and Cesaro.
For the bar.
Yeah. Needless to say, boom, a little bit more heat on Matt Hardy. Jeff Hardy gets the tag in. But as he tags in, it's when Cesaro is trying to, you know, get the backslide pin on Jeff Hardy. He blind tags Matt Hardy in. So Matt Hardy reverses the backslide, gets Cesaro down. Jeff Hardy does his kind of split-legged leg drop onto the legs of Cesaro.
Onto the balls.
Pins. 1-2-3. It's now a 3-2 lead.
Yay, balls!
For the bar.
Duh, bar.
And then, yeah, and there's about maybe like 10 minutes left at this point. And then with, you know, just about, you know, 5 minutes or so left, boom, Matt Hardy hits a Twist of Fate out of nowhere, ties it up, 1-2-3.
Hooray!
So now it's kind of back to even playing field.
Boom.
Until about the 30-second mark.
Yay!
Where there's some blind tags going on. But anyway, we see a Swanton Bomb from Jeff Hardy to Sheamus. But before this happened, Cesaro had blind tagged himself in. So as soon as Jeff Hardy landed for the Senton Bomb, he got pinned 1-2-3 to put the bar up 4-3 here.
Hooray!
Cesaro then kind of ran away from Jeff Hardy. They got back into the ring. Jeff Hardy did execute a Twist of Fate, but as soon as the cover made, the clock hit 0, and the bar ends up retaining the tag team titles. 1-2-3. It's a very scattered match in my mind.
Sounds like it. I didn't watch it, but it sounds like it.
So I tried to do my best of scattering the falls, because in my eyes, there wasn't really a direction.
Kind of like random wrestle. Oh, look, a pin. Random wrestle.
Yeah,
wrestle.
It seemed like all 7 finishes were, you know.
Kind of gay.
Yeah, it seemed like, you know, that's what they knew. So it was just going to checkpoint here. So, I don't know. I wasn't as invested in this match as I probably should have been.
I was basically having more high hopes than what it sounded like it actually ended up being.
Yeah, so anyway, that now takes us to the women's title match between Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss, where,
which I also heard from Mrs. Manai, who watched it live, that apparently it was rather disappointing.
See, Mrs. Manai needs to watch it again, because I think this match did exactly what it was supposed to do, in the sense of you're going to get another match between these two.
Keep in mind, she was also a huge Bayley fan, and everyone saw Bayley for females doesn't match up for her. Well, so that's bias on her part.
Maybe she should tell Bayley to stop being boring.
Don't look at me. I don't give a damn about Bayley. I care more about the wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube men.
tube. But yeah, no, anyway, this match came in where, you know, they didn't really do a heck of a whole lot, but they didn't do anything that made you like, man, this sucks kind of a scenario. I think these two have probably better chemistry than I thought Bayley and Alexa Bliss did. But with that being said, there's a point in the match where Alexa Bliss uses her double joint aspect of her arm and used that to pretend that she had a dislocated or broken arm in the match.
Oh, she did that again. That's fun. I like that.
Yeah. So that kind of caused her to sell to the outside and then basically took the count out. Therefore, she retained the title.
I like that.
And it kind of continues this whole thing, which I think is good. I think it sets the stage to where they're leading to next. And that's why I don't personally mind this. On top of that, after the match, Alexa Bliss takes very much great pride in the fact of how she retained the title, whereas Sasha Banks was quite pissed off, attacks her onto the on the stage.
And then actually breaks her arm.
And then when she goes to goes about to the announcer's table, Alexa Bliss kind of counters it, you know, takes off the top of the announce table, goes for her signature DDT on the announce table. Sasha Banks throws her off kind of onto the stage between the entranceway and the barricades, and then that double knee that she gives her opponents off the top rope jumps off the announce table and does this to Sasha Banks, or to Alexa Bliss, sorry. And you know, I thought this really gave Sasha Banks the fire she needed, but at the same time it really makes Alexa Bliss crafty enough to get the win, crafty enough to escape, but still shows that Sasha Banks ain't gonna leave without a fair fight. So again, this is a match where you're going to see another one, and I actually am looking forward to it.
Oh, fair enough. I mean, that right there convinces me enough that I'll probably go watch it. So, yeah, stay tuned.
Yep. And this takes us now to the Intercontinental title match between Dean Ambrose and The Miz.
Which I woke up at right at the end.
Yeah, and I don't think it's really... I mean, this match was pretty much your typical one where obviously there's... some back and forth wrestling between the two, and then it ends up with the Miz getting the distraction win over Ambrose with the help of the Miztourage, which I still think they gotta change that name.
Yeah, change it to something like the Cocksuckers or.
Well, I mean, like
the Anal Beads.
I'm for them wanting to use Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel.
Oh yes, well, I agree with that.
But the Miztourage, I think, is. I want to see them focus less on The Miz being the lead. I don't want to say leader, because I think everybody knows he's going to be the leader. But it's kind of how we all knew Triple H was the leader of Evolution. But it still had that name that didn't solidify against just one guy. Like, it didn't circle around just one. It was kind of something that was more, this is what we're
so you're thinking of. Change the name to Miz-Evolution?
Yeah. So, I don't know. It just seems like if they're the Miztourage, then obviously, then, you know.
They're basically just lackeys.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to see them as lackeys. I want to see them more billed as closer to equals.
Or a tag team.
Well, I think that's what you're going to get. I think you're going to get Miz as a single star and then Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel as a tag team. But I would just like to see them build the three more as equals, opposed to, you know, here's our star, here's our supporting cast kind of a deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, Miz does get the scroll crushing finale onto Ambrose for the win with the help of his Miztourage, so there's nothing too out of the
ordinary. From what I heard, again, this match was also pretty on par with everything they've been doing already, so it was kind of more of the same, and
I think I'm the more I see Dean Ambrose, I'm as much as I'm entertained with what he does from time to time, I still would like to see him full-fledged go heel, just be given the ball just to kind of roam through that creative process of just, you know, being darker and being more mysterious, kind of like he was before he joined WWE or when he joined FCW. So, personally, I think Dean Ambrose needs a little bit of a refresh button on him.
Well, I mean, without getting into it too much, there was a show at MSG this past Friday, and the crowd, I guess, was clamoring fairly hard for a Shield reunion at the end of the night.
Well, I mean, I think...
So, I think if they were to do something like that, you could keep them face.
Yeah, but I think you would look at then, at this point, what would the Shield do? And the one thing everybody would then want is, give a Shield against Bullet Club. We want to see that so bad.
But then have Dean Ambrose turn this time. And then a couple years later, form it once more time and have Roman turn.
I think we both know the Bullet Club, if they form, will have either AJ Styles or Finn Balor in it. Therefore, cannot be the heels.
Yeah.
So, and then when you look at it, Seth Rollins, he's a better heel than he was babyface. Roman Reigns should be a heel. Dean Ambrose can hit that refresh. I think it's a simple transition.
It definitely could be done if you bring them in like that, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, this now leads us to the Braun Strowman-Roman Reigns ambulance match.
Which I thoroughly enjoyed.
I thought this actually was the performance that stole the show.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Braun Strowman is a gigantic...
douche.
Monster.
Douche.
That is succeeding for the WWE right now.
Yes, I agree.
His feud with Roman Reigns, I think, is catapulting him to becoming one of the biggest fan favorites that the WWE has right now. I think he is getting more of a reaction in the positive way than almost any other superstar on Raw. And it has a lot to do with Roman Reigns being his counterpart.
You know what? Those two work really well together.
But at the same time, this is one big guy that works as a big guy. He doesn't do anything that he shouldn't be doing. And all he's doing is coming back for more. And asking for more. Demanding for more. And at the end of the day, you can get behind a guy just wanting to kick the crap out of people because he likes it.
Yeah, kind of like us.
So, I mean...
But more hairy.
But at the end of the day, I think this just sets you up for wanting to see Strowman versus Lesnar. More and more and more.
No, that's something that going forward I would like to see.
Because Lesnar's also a contracted killer of a beast himself.
But we can't deny, without getting into too much, can't deny Samoa Joe anymore. Which we never have. But anyways, we'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah. So anyway, this match was basically what you expected. It was them just beating the living shit out of one another.
You know, it was a nice change, not to skip forward too much, but at the end, Roman losing his mind and basically destroying Braun.
Yeah.
That was a nice change of pace. It adds another dynamic.
So anyway, the finish of the match came to when Braun was getting beat down and he was pretty close to an open ambulance. And the object of this match is to throw your opponent in the ambulance, shut the door, and you win. So as there's an open door ambulance, Braun is getting beat up. Roman goes for the spear. He runs probably a good maybe 15 yards. As he dives for the spear, Braun just sidesteps and he just goes right into the ambulance, shuts the door, wins the match.
Now, I love it. It was different. But here's my counter thing. I worked for a while in ambulances. Why not use the ambulance a little bit better, like to what it has? You throw someone in there and you're tired and whatnot. You close the one door. You go to close the second one. Guy pops out the side door. Continues it on. But not taking away anything from this match, because this match, the way it finished, was really good. I'm just saying for future, if we were to do it, we would make it way more entertaining and still win.
That's because the tech struggle knows what's up.
We know what is up.
Yeah. And, but, I mean, right after this match, don't get anybody wrong, Roman Reigns was not done either. He completely comes right back out, spears Braun Strowman, and starts...
out of his boots!
Starts taking it to Strowman. Which was nice, because I think the one thing people do like when they see Roman Reigns is his ability to step it up and just come back and then fight. And then nobody will ever take away Roman Reigns' ability to go toe-to-toe with guys, because he is one of the better guys at it himself.
I agree.
But anyway, he goes...
Basically, Roman Reigns ends up grabbing him, throwing him into the back of the ambulance, closing the door, beating the hell out of the driver, and then takes off into the, basically, back parkade area. lines it up real nice like, and then just shoots backwards in a quick motion.
Yeah, like full speed.
I'd say a good, well, you're in the U.S., so we'll say a good 40 miles an hour, and just rams into the back of a semi-truck, and just destroys the back. Pretty much murdering Braun Strowman.
So anyway, during this is going on, everyone's kind of in shock of what they just saw.
It basically goes like, holy crap, okay, whatever, we gotta do whatever. Kurt Angle, so, fantastic on this.
Oh, 100%. Him and Jamie Noble, actually, does a great job of...
We didn't see our buddy Adam Pearce, who we should get on this podcast, but...
well, you know.
He's busy doing other things. He probably put the match together that came after, which was...
Yeah, we were told that an impromptu match is coming to place, and we see Curt Hawkins
versus
Heath Slater.
Which is the battle of the haircut, really.
Battle of the gingers?
Battle of the orange tights versus the I've got kids.
Yeah, we got face the facts, I've got eight kids match.
And it was pretty much... They did a split screen where it was like half showing the back of them trying to get Braun Strowman out of the ambulance, and the fire trucks and the new ambulance shows up, and the other half was showing the match. And it was pretty much a filler, which is unfortunate because I bet you these two could actually put on a decent match.
Yeah. But pretty much what we saw was pretty much like cut back to the ambulance. They see the jaws of life getting... Strowman out of this ambulance.
Which,
and then all of a sudden we hear that Heath Slater just beat Curtis Axel, and nobody actually sees the finish.
No, you literally, you just hear it, and like you hear the bell ring three times, you hear Mrs. Wyatt say, and your winner of this match, Heath Slater, and we're like, huh, well, that was a waste of time.
Yeah, and then we, Curt Hawkins tweeted that he did in fact lose to Heath Slater, but it was from a Canadian,
Main Destroyer from the top rope.
Yes, so...
And if that's the case, WWE, put that match on the TV. Holy shit, that'd be insane.
Now, I believe this would be a better, bigger squash than Enzo and Cass.
Y'all?
So, anyway, with that happening, we see Braun crawling out of the ambulance all bloody.
Which, this is where I have one of my little maniac moments. The ambulance attendants, the paramedics, and the fire people, I'm assuming they're real because they have all the gear, they're using it properly. But man, they were terrible. Like, their acting ability and what they were supposed to do, what I've been taught, was just god-awful. Like, the one guy's chasing Braun Strowman as he's trying to crawl away with a neck brace, like trying to grab him by the neck. What the hell? I get it. You have to immobilize C-spine. I get it. But what the hell, man? You're going to break his neck if you keep trying to grab him like that. Or he'll break your neck because he's pissed off and it's Braun Strowman.
Yeah, but if Braun Strowman is there, do you think he gives a crap about what the medical guy's trying to do?
No, but that's the thing. It's like, if you're like that and the guy's being that combative, as a paramedic, you are taught, that's not your scene. You stay a safe distance and the police apprehend the person.
Well, I mean, they were in Dallas and nobody in Texas wants to be told no.
That's true. You can just ask John F. Kennedy. He said no. Next thing you know, his brains were no, no, and over no.
Yeah. It's a little bit of no right.
No rights anymore because he's dead.
Anyway, this then takes us to the main event for the Universal title between Samoa Joe and reigning, defending Universal champion
Brock Lesnar!
With Paul Heyman.
Yes.
This match, actually,
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Samoa Joe took it to him. Looked like a badass.
This was probably the most competitive match on the card.
Yeah, it was actually more in favor for Joe for most of it. Like, it really was. Like, Lesnar got, I think, what, 6 or 7 suplexes in?
Yeah. I mean,
but really, nothing compared
Lesnar
to
Lesnar got in what he needed to get in, but Joe really took it to him, which was a nice pace because we always know that Brock Lesnar can beat up whoever he wants at will. This time, he was getting beat up at will, and it was a nice change of pace.
It was different to see. Now, the only thing I don't like was the way they finished it, which we've talked about at length already. But I just wanted something a little bit more. Like, the match was only like 6.5, 7 minutes, which, okay, fine. But I wanted something a little bit more.
Yeah, so basically the finish was Joe had Lesnar in the Coquita Clutch. And as Lesnar was trying to fight it, he was on his knees, trying not to go down and, you know, be, like, taken to his back, which is obviously, you know, where we know the move is at its all-time dangerous.
Yes.
And so by the time he gets to his knees, Joe stands up, and when Joe stands up, quickly gets him into the F5 position.
Yeah, but that's the problem. When he got him up there, he held him for, like, a second. I think, honestly, a second or two too long. He should have honestly just gotten up, boom, boom, done.
Yeah, but needless to say, they still made the F5 look like a great destructive move. I don't think this takes away from Smallwood Joe by any means, because just the way Brock Lesnar looked after this match, he looked like he was happy to survive.
Yeah, like, he didn't win, he survived the match, which makes Joe look awesome, but I don't know. Personally, I can't even put my finger on it, but I felt like there was something missing from the match.
I think it was just needed just a little bit more. I think that's what it was. I think
that's probably all it is, but I felt like something small was missing.
I think this is two guys that you just give no holds barred to.
Yeah, and I think instead of having it more Joe than Lesnar, have it literally 50-50 back and forth.
Yeah, like,
I think that would make it just a little bit.
I think that's just the fact that somebody could actually
keep up or possibly surpass?
No, I think there's the fact that somebody could actually throw Joe around at will. I think it's, like, just absolutely mind-blowing visually anyway. But the fact that Samoa Joe could do the same to Brock Lesnar, also completely mind-blowing.
All over him. And before the match even starts, he just, like, tosses him around, puts him through the Spanish announce table. Of course, leave the German one alone. And then he gets in there, match starts, immediately bum rushes him, does that Enziguri style kick in the corner, and he makes Brock look just like a peasant. And it was different. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, because I think with Joe taking it to Lesnar, you don't hurt Lesnar because everyone's always going to believe what Lesnar's capable of. You know, even if he has one match where it looks like he got beat up too much, boom, you have one Monday Night Raw where he just, you know, he picks up the ambulance and F5s that, and then boom, you believe Brock Lesnar once again.
Because of this match, seeing in the interim, like a number one contendership between Joe and Strowman, I totally buy that. I think it'd be awesome.
I think too, I want to see this match again under the no hold bars or something to that point that just solidifies the end, but it's just something because I now believe Samoa Joe is capable of just breaking Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's totally possible.
And I think this match made Samoa Joe, even though he lost, this match, I think, made Samoa Joe more of a favorite to be a main event player on Monday Night Raw than he was going in.
Absolutely. So I think this put him on the map for sure in a main event position now going forward.
So I would love to see where they go next. Maybe they go Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe, and maybe they go Strowman versus Lesnar, but maybe they do Strowman versus Joe, Reigns versus Lesnar. Time will tell. I just don't understand how you give Roman Reigns a title match here after a loss. I also don't understand why you would give Strowman Lesnar right now, in all honesty.
Him and Joe are not done.
No, and that's just the thing. I just don't see how you could put Lesnar and Joe one and done kind of a scenario.
These two matches, though, basically solidified four guys in the top echelon of Raw brand, which is nice. Now you have four guys you can cycle between.
Hopefully this now allows us to have that main ingredient on Monday Night Raw. 3 hours is a lot to take in, but hopefully the build-up to Joe Lesnar was phenomenal. Hopefully they can make this continue on with this moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in all in fairness, I think I give the inaugural great balls of fire. I give it a B here.
I give it a dangly two balls.
Yeah. I give it, well, I mean, you know, depending on how you flip the bee, it kind of looks like balls.
Speaking of great balls of fire, look, there's an old school Mustang.
Yeah, and it's red, like fire. And we can't pronounce the custom license plate because it's an Asian and nobody understands them.
It says Zulufa Lakataya. Hang on.
It says, if you want to get some wrestling merchandise, you go to whatamaneuver.net.
Actually, it does. It literally says whatamaneuver.net. Get the license plate.
And on whatamaneuver.net, you can pick yourself up some vintage OWE gear.
Which you're wearing.
I am. And the inaugural struggle shirt, onesie, hoodie, whatever you want. Exactly. What a maneuver's got.
Exactly.
It's whatamaneuver.net. Get your shit now.
Word up.
Yeah. And also, since we're talking about whatamaneuver.net, we also want you to go over to check out the Edmonton Sport Podcast Network, whether it's on your iTunes,
Google Play, Podbean, YouTube.
Yep. And you have a chance. Sorry, the opportunity. Scratch that. You have the choice to listen to all 31 episodes of The Sounds of Struggle.
That includes this one.
Exactly. 31 episodes. Holy shitballs.
We're almost middle age.
Oh my god, we're as old as
middle aged guys who are 31.
Yay!
Who are gonna live to 62.
Man, 31's an old age. I hate to be 31.
Yeah, that'd be terrible if I was 31.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I can't think of anybody who'd ever be 31 years old.
No, nobody in this conversation is 31.
Not at all.
Nah.
So, moving forward, we just actually read kind of a, not really a spoiler, but the plan that tonight's Raw will see a special congratulatory
ceremony.
Yeah, but from Kurt Angle to Brock Lesnar as being the conqueror of Team Red.
And then Brock Lesnar's going to try and do his shooting star press and land on his head again.
Yeah, and then as you're kind of getting over the Botch Mania number 2 here, you can treat yourself into an award-presenting segment of Miz TV.
Who's he presenting it to?
My guess is to himself.
He's a little bit of all right.
And then also,
very struggle-icious.
And then also they announced that a number one contenders match for the Universal title will take place
between Heath Slater and Kurt Hawkins.
Yes, and that is for the title of Who Will the Crowd Remember First? Yes. For the Universal title, number one contender match will be Roman Reigns going on against Samoa Joe, which is kind of what we touched up on.
Yeah, which I was about to be really upset, and then I realized, well, technically, Braun Strowman's MIA, and he's supposed to be hurt. And that makes sense, okay.
And also, we'll be given a medical update on the condition of Braun Strowman.
Which he could still crash this match.
And then, from what it sounds like, there could be the possibility of a rematch between Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt on Monday Night Raw.
Interesting.
So,
well, tune in. Let's see, 3 days ago at around 6 o'clock, and you can find out.
Well, I mean, we're taping on Monday. They know that, so...
Yeah, whatever happens, don't tell us until we watch it.
Yeah, when this podcast airs, tweet us or Facebook us what you thought about the whole idea.
Or Instagram or Periscope. I don't think any of us have a Periscope, but try it.
Still should be called Periscope, shouldn't it?
Do you have one? You should start that.
I think I did, but then I never used it because nobody uses it.
To be fair, I think it's exact same as Instagram for me. I think I had one for like a week, and I don't use it anymore.
Yeah. So, moving on, I think this kind of does it for WWE next.
No. What? I have tons more.
Well, this does it for WWE Great Balls of Fire Monday Night Raw. Yes. So,
Sort of. This past Friday, there was a house show at Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
A few people making their debuts. Biggest note is AJ Styles, now the U.S. champion, unless he won it back last night, which I didn't hear. I think he's still...
Wait, unless AJ Styles won it back?
Well, I mean, unless... What's his name? Kevin Owens won it back.
Yeah.
As of right now, as far as I know, AJ Styles is still the new United States champion.
Yeah, from what I understand, AJ Styles is the United States champion, and they will mention it on SmackDown this week. From what I understand, it could be potentially because Kevin Owens is injured.
That would be terrible.
That would be.
That would be a little bit of not good.
The face of America has been bruised.
That is not good. Not nope. good. Face of America from Canada.
Therefore, the face of America is red, white, and bruised.
Very good. Yeah. I like it. I like it. That's good. The May Young Classic is going to set, I believe, tape this week, at the end of the week. I think the 13th, 14th.
Something like that. Yeah. Which apparently Lita and, who's it, Jim Ross will be announcing.
I thought it was Renee Young and Jim Ross. But either way, they're going to have a female announcer. Yeah,
I heard Lita is having something to do with it. And then I also heard that Alundra Blaze, Medusa, also
never heard of her.
Also will be a part of it, which is I'm happy
maybe,
that
help present it or
either way, I'm very happy that these women are starting to come back. I hope now like a Trish Stratus or you know maybe Ivory
Sunny.
As long as she's not in the hospital, because I guess she got you know
we touched on it last week. She got beat up.
Yeah, she's back in the hospital.
What about Mae Young?
Me
or Fabulous Moolah?
Both dead.
Yeah, that'll make it a little difficult.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure if there's any people that could kick out of death, it'd probably be them.
Yeah. Well. Mm. And then they. Yeah. You know what? I'm not even gonna go there.
Okay. Fair
no, just not. We'll leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that.
That was a not a nice thing to say.
What? I'm saying they have the power.
Don't you dare be sour.
Exactly. Flag match is back.
On their tombstones, you can put the flower.
That too. As well as flags. Yeah. Which, there's a flag match coming back.
Flag match!
Between Rusev and John Cena!
What? We've never seen those two go up against each other.
Not once at WrestleMania where Cena won the U.S. title from Rusev. Not once.
And I bet you it has something to do with, I love America. Americans are stupid.
Even though
let's have a match.
Even though I live in Nashville and I love that place.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Go Predators. No way.
Yeah, go Predators. Go Boston. Fight.
Yeah.
Captain America, Civil War.
I don't even think Cena's a Bruins fan.
I think he's just a fan of...
I mean, he's a Tampa Rays baseball fan, for one.
I thought he was...
No. No, he what? No, he's not.
Not he... a Red Sox fan.
No, admits that he's a Tampa Rays baseball fan.
What happened to all the stuff in the mid-2000s where he kept talking about the Red Sox being a huge fan from Boston? That liar! Nothing he says makes sense anymore. He's a heel. Officially, a heel.
He had an attitude adjustment.
Very good.
There you go.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess that's happening.
You know what's also back? The Punjabi prison match.
There'll be two different matches like that on Battleground in a few weeks.
You know what? I think we should save Battleground for next week.
For another day.
Yes.
Another day. WWE leaks 3 million fan info.
Yes.
But luckily, before you panic, not credit card info. Just about your height, weight, gender, race, which I have no idea how they got half of this because I don't think you have to give your race when you sign up.
No, but if you guys see me, swipe left now.
Yeah, I don't get how they figured stuff like race. How many kids you have? I don't know how they figured that out.
Okay, WWE, I have zero, all right? Please, correct that.
That you know of.
Yeah, that I know of.
And I don't want to know if I have any, so please, no thank you.
Yeah, do you know how much I pay on back taxes already?
Exactly.
Not enough.
Well, you pay too much.
Well, not if I have all those kids.
Yeah, true enough. Yeah. I don't know, I want to know how this information got out, because it just does not make sense.
Yeah, and they made me Hispanic. Like, what the fuck?
Like, when you sign up, you don't have to give your race, how many kids you have, any of that stuff. Like, how did they find this out? It's kind of creepy.
Like, if anybody's seen me, I'm pale as a damn ghost. I'm clearly Caucasian.
You are literally clear. You're so pale, you're clear.
Yeah, you can't see me right now.
I'm literally looking through you.
Yeah.
It's like, what is it? Hollow Man. You're Kevin Bacon.
Oh, Ghost Dad, I kind of want to say, without being black. Well, Kevin, okay, really, Hollow Man? You're going to say on Ghost Dad, but Hollow Man is the movie that we're going to go here.
Okay, Leaving Extraordinary Gentlemen, you're the Invisible Man. Woo!
Can I be like the dead on Little Nicky? At least that wasn't
you. You mean the devil?
Sure. My name is Parrish.
Anyways, moving on.
I'd rather be them than Hollow Man.
Yeah, well, you're hollow inside right now, in your fucking dome.
Boop, boop.
Very good. Okay, I'm going to mention basketball, but because Canada did something that they've never done before.
History!
Canada defeated USA in under-19 FIBA semifinals. It's the first time the U.S. has not won and gone to the finals and won it since 2013.
FIBA!
So that, and that's, I think, the first time ever that Canada's actually made it to the finals. So good for them. That's awesome. It's fantastic for them. It's a good day for Canada and therefore the world. Also, Houston Rockets signed James Harden to a 4-year, $228 million extension.
That's nothing. You know what the Oilers did last week.
But that's the biggest in NBA history. He makes more than anyone now, which is disgusting.
Yeah, but who cares? Just basketball.
Good point. Good point.
Yeah. It's not a real sport.
Well, technically it is. No, which actually, I want to get into that with you later on. What is the lamest and most stupid sport that's considered a sport out there? Anything that's shown on TSN or Sportsnet or anything like that will say is technically a sport. And I wanted to talk about what the dumbest ones out there are.
Soccer.
No, see, because I consider a sport anything that you're physically active. And I think soccer, basketball, you're technically...
Man, half those idiots are not even moving.
But you're still, you technically, there are points where you do.
They don't even know what to sell.
Like for me, I think darts. I could argue golf.
Man, they don't know how to handle one of those red cards. They need to go to Phil Hellmuth's class and learn how to play with them cards.
I'm just saying, I think poker, darts, golf, I don't think those are sports. I think those are leisure entertainment.
Man, they have freaking video games now. And considering that a sport.
I know, it's dumb.
I mean, we are literally one step away from watching guys masturbate and saying, this is going to be in the Olympics soon.
We would win gold.
Jesus Christ.
We win all the golds. 200 breaststroke, I win.
Yeah, damn you, Michael Phelps. We own you.
Exactly. The other one, NASCAR. Not that I don't think it's
we
hard.
Would test positive on beer, though.
Yeah, we would fail for that. We'd be hammered. But no, I think NASCAR is another one. Not that I don't think they're hard. You got to be in shape because of the G-forces and all that. I don't think it's a sport, though. The car's doing all the work. Kind of like equestrian. The horse is doing all the work. How is that a sport for humans? It's not. It's stupid. Moving on.
What about the dog?
No, it's not a sport. It's a sport for dogs, not for humans.
That's not even a sport. It's like, congratulations, you're not a stupid animal.
It's an agility course.
It's like, hey, you know how to jump over a freaking stick. Congratulations.
Going a little tunnel and tube. Yeah. It's not a sport.
And there's never, like, real dogs. There's always, like, stupid, ugly ones, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's
like, the skinniest dogs in the world. Like, eat a steak. Give it some people food. Stop being a cruel asshole.
Yeah. Diabetes.
Yeah. Give your dog a steak, man.
They're dying.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, Mayweather versus McGregor press conference.
Give me your belt.
Yes. That should be interesting. I might actually tune into that, because that should be interesting to listen to them go back and forth. That just builds the hype and will make me enjoy it, I think. I really do. Also, this past Saturday was UFC 213. Amanda Nunes was hospitalized and could not compete.
Yeah, you know why? She had a cough, man.
I was going to say she had herpes, but sure. Yeah. All I know is that I listened to the thing with Dana White and you saying that she was technically medically clear, but she said she felt unwell, so she didn't compete.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, that's just, I guess, how it goes sometimes.
Yeah. It's basically she was coughing and just had repeated coughs.
Which, you know what? No, to be fair, I've wrestled with cough and played hockey with coughs. It does suck. But if you are a true champion, you can do it.
Yeah. But the only, I think, good thing is that Dana White said he's going to move that to UFC 215, which is in Edmonton.
There you go.
Which, now we have Gilbert Melendez fighting, Junior Dos Santos, apparently a Matt and a Nunes.
You know what?
It's shaping up to be a good card.
You know what else? Breaking news here. I'm actually going to be here for it now. Yeah, exactly. I'm actually going to be here. Through changes involving work and social, personal life, whatever you want to call it, I am not going to be able to attend my friend's wedding back in Ontario, which sucks. Kyle, I'm sorry. It's probably just not going to work. I'm going to still try, but most likely not going to be able to make it.
So UFC then?
Probably.
Thanks, Kyle.
Which is sad because UFC, well, actually depends. If I can get cheap
tickets. Wait, we have diapers now?
Yeah. If tickets aren't ridiculously expensive, because that's part of the reason I can't go, is money.
The one you gave me has poop in it. Can I get a new one?
You have a ticket with poop in it?
No, you gave me a diaper.
Oh, diaper! Oh, sorry. My bad.
Why do you have poop diapers?
I don't like wiping.
Fair enough.
Moving on! I know you don't like CFL, but Ricky Rage made 300 career touchdown passes. I figure we should at least mention it.
Yeah, not bad for a former New York Jet.
Yeah. And a former Edmonton Eskimo, which, by the way, they have a game this Friday.
Yep.
Jackpot starts at $83,000.
And yeah, a little bit more, yeah. But yeah, what do you say? We're going to win? Sure. Yeah, it's a little bit of all right.
Yes.
Ching, ching.
Moving on to baseball. Stroman. He's all butthurt because he didn't make the All-Star game.
Aww.
Yes, I guess he believes he should be there. I didn't read about who he said shouldn't be there, but I guess he said he should be there and someone else shouldn't.
Man, he sounds a lot like the Irishman on Twitter. Just a whiny little bitch.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Yeah. I agree. Also, the Blue Jays signed a 16-year-old from, Brazil, named Eric
Pardino.
Pardino, that's it. And he's going to be reporting to Dominican Republic Training Center for the...
$1.4 million signing bonus.
Yes, that's quite a bonus for a 16-year-old who apparently can throw 94 miles an hour.
He's going to have one hell of a Honda Civic for his first car.
I agree.
It's going to have leather and a cassette player. It's going to be rocking.
Yes. Now on to our favorite sport other than wrestling. Hockey!
Yay!
Big notable things that happened. McDavid, 8-year... $12.5 million a year.
$100 million!
Cue...
Matt, if we had that soundbite, perfect.
Cue pinky to lip.
Yeah. $100 million. And apparently the number went down. Because a week before, it was reported that he was going to sign an 8-year, $106 million, which was 13.25 annual, while this one's 12.5. So
he saved $6 million. What a generous guy.
But at the same time, he left money on the table. How many times have you actually heard a megastar like this actually being reported to make or to take less money a week after?
I don't know.
Like, he actually, there was a strong report that there was $106 million over 8 years offered to him, and nobody denied that. When asked, not one person denied that, but in fact, they said they want to make the Oilers a competitive team, therefore opening some possibilities of keeping or bringing in some additions if need be.
Yes.
Now, that is the sign of a captain, regardless of the cap hit, regardless of how much money he's making. I think we can all say Connor McDavid is the kind of a guy in today's day and age deserves to be making what he's making if you're throwing that money around.
I think we deserve to be making that, but that's just me.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know what? Not everyone can make that on ticket sales.
Yes.
So,
Also, the other sign, UC Jokinen into a 1-year deal.
Yep. $1.1 million, I believe. I would have to think that that deal was made so Jokinen is going to mentor Jesse Puljujärvi.
Yes.
I mean, can only imagine. They're both Finnish. They both played on the last Finnish World Championship team. Not this past year, but the year before. So hopefully that is what it is. I still think I would have signed a Shane Doan or Eginla, but that's just me.
In keeping with signings, Tyler Johnson of the Lightning signs a 7-year, $35 million extension.
Yeah, $5 million a year. I think that's pretty good for him. I think Tampa Bay is starting to get all those core players in play now. Now that they have set their stones on Vasilevskiy as a number one goalie, they brought in Chris Kunitz, they keep Tyler Johnson, I think they might make some waves next year.
Yes.
I would not be surprised to see the Washington Capitals kind of fall down in the standings and the Tampa Bay Lightning move up.
Yes, I agree. In keeping with signings, Kovalchuk signed 1-year deal with SKA, which is in St. Petersburg of the KHL.
He says that the Olympic participation played a giant part in his reason to sign in the KHL, but
which is not really surprising, though, because it's in North Korea or South Korea? Either way, it's right by his home country, so it's not surprising at all.
You mean Russia?
Is it in Russia?
Well, KHL is in Russia.
No, I meant like the actual Olympics.
Oh, really close to
his home country.
But anyway, the fact that he says the Olympic participation played a huge part, I wonder if the fact that the New Jersey Devils received zero trade offers for Kovalchuk played any part at all. That's just me. It's
very possible.
I can't see it, but I'm just saying.
Yes.
You know, I mean, why wouldn't you want to return to a league where nobody wants to trade for you?
Yeah.
I'm just...
That's very true. I mean, and now I want to play a game with you.
Okay.
I want to play a game with you.
Yay!
There are 6 teams in the NHL that do not have captains.
Toronto?
Yeah.
I know that for a fact.
Toronto?
I'll say Arizona. Because they just traded their captain. I kind of want to say Carolina.
Yep.
Boom. I know Dallas. I would say Florida?
No. They still have one.
Oh, they have that old bald defenseman, isn't it?
Mitchell.
Yeah, Mitchell. Fuck, I thought he retired. Everyone knows Vegas, all right? Still they haven't announced anything. But I guess... No, I'm not going to look at your phone. I'm not going to cheat. I'm going to do this the real way here. I know...
One in the east and one in the west.
I would say... Buffalo?
Very good.
Yeah, boy! One in the west, I would say. Koivu still plays on the Wild, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he's still there. I want to say Winnipeg. Nope. No, okay, then
we
I
still have Wheeler as the captain.
Oh yeah, Wheeler was named captain. My bad. I'm just running down the teams here. So we know Colorado has Landeskog as their captain. We know. The Oilers have McDavid. We know Minnesota has Koivu. Blackhawks has Chase. We have St. Louis with Pietrangelo. Colorado has that. Nashville because Fisher has not re-signed yet.
Very good. So, Nashville. So it's Toronto, Carolina, Arizona, Vegas, Buffalo, and Nashville.
I would assume Nashville brings back Fisher for one more year.
You think so?
I would think so.
Okay.
So I mean,
I'd say hypothetically they don't. Who becomes captain? Do they have a captain?
They
have enough players and they've been around enough that they could have a captain. Who would it be? I would say probably Roman Josi.
I would probably put it on Ellis.
You think so?
I would either put it on Ellis. I think Subban is too soon. But I think
Ellis doesn't even have a letter. I mean, he probably will now because, Neil is also gone.
Yeah, I don't think Neil would have worn the C. See, here's the thing. When I look at the team of Nashville, the team... And their identity is their defense.
Yes.
I think Roman Josi might be the sexy choice for captain, but I think Ryan Ellis is the character player on the team.
Yeah.
And that's why I think I give it to him. I would never have picked James Neal just because I don't think he's their best player. I don't think he's the guy when the chips are down, steps up the most either.
I think you see probably either a Forsberg or a Johansson now gets an A.
Yeah, and that's where I line up with the Oilers. After trading Jordan Eberle, I'm not sold that Ryan Nugent-Hopkins permanently gets a letter. I personally would throw an A on either Oscar Klefbom or Leon Draisaitl. I think if McDavid is ready for the C, Leon Draisaitl after this past year when re-signed might be ready for that A. Now, when it comes to Toronto, I don't think they'll announce a captain. I think...
Even with Patrick Marleau? Maybe take over a couple years, groom...
No, because I just don't see the point. I don't see the point of Marleau adding that responsibility, plus original six team giving a temporary captaincy away, I think, doesn't do anything.
Oh, man, Chicago did that for years in the late 90s or the 2000s.
Yeah, but they also sucked then.
It's Toronto.
Yes.
Hello.
But they are doing somewhat decent right now. We got to give them their due. I think when Austin Matthews gets a contract extension, I think here's the extension. We'll also present him with the captaincy as well.
Fair enough. I don't know. I just think an original 16 without a captain's kind of like big slap in the face to the NHL.
Arizona, 100% Ekman Larson.
Yep.
I don't think that there should be a doubt there. And then who else did we say?
Carolina.
Carolina. Wow.
Jordan Staal is there. He's been there for
So is Skinner.
And you know what? Skinner has already has an A. He definitely
can. I would actually say Jeff Skinner might actually be the best candidate there. Staal, not so much, just because I don't think he'll be there much longer.
You don't think so?
No. Either. So.
And then, what about, I'll say Buffalo. I mean, you can do, again, an easy choice saying Eichel.
I think that's the same thing. I think you wait 1 year, give Eichel his big extension, and then you present him with the C.
Keep in mind, you also have Pominville coming back, who was a captain there at one point.
Yeah, but I think he's going to be there as just kind of what Matt Hendricks was when he came here.
In term, kind of a couple years.
Just kind of like, you know, he's our kind of vet, but, I mean, obviously the future is going to be this guy kind of a deal.
And then
Vegas.
Nashville, yeah, and then Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas, who knows?
It could be Neil now. Can't talk about that.
Can't be Mark Methuen anymore.
It cannot be.
But at the same time, do they need to have a captain?
I mean, honestly, for them, they'd be like the only team I'd say not necessarily no.
I mean, that's the thing. I think not having a captain is becoming one of those trends that, you know, a team doesn't really need.
No, that's very true, especially because there's no rule anymore that's saying, you know, you have to have a letter to talk to a referee. You can be anybody to talk to a ref now.
But going back to Nashville, I don't think it's too much out of the question that a guy like Fisher takes the majority of the summer to just kind of evaluate, enjoy his summer. I mean, the guy lives in the Nashville area. I don't think he's moving anytime soon. I think if he doesn't leave, he retires. But at the same time, you know, how quiet it would be in a month if it's like, oh, they, you know, bring him back for one more year, and then he still has the C. And then, so I mean, I personally think that's gonna happen. Yeah. So I think by SummerSlam, Mike Fisher will re-sign for one more year, and then there you go.
By the way, you were technically right when we said it was a podcast or two ago, saying that by was it early middle of July that you'd sign McDavid. So they did that. They haven't signed Draisaitl yet.
No, I definitely thought that would have been more of 2-in-1 kind of a thing. I thought they would have announced both at the same time. Kind of like when the Oilers announced Pekka and Pronger back in the day. However, I understand why you don't, because you can't overshadow Connor McDavid. And apparently the negotiation with Leon Draisaitl is not as smooth as Connor McDavid.
Fucking dirt, Germans.
No, I don't think it's anything that. I think when you look at the contracts being put out and you're seeing certain guys get what they want, I mean, it's not hard. I mean, you don't get many opportunities to sign that big contract on an NHL career. True. You won maybe two opportunities, so you got to make him count. Connor McDavid said that flat out. And he said, the fact that somebody's willing to pay me $100 million to play a game that, you know, I'm probably going to play anyway is quite just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
I think that says a lot about the character, what you get there. I also think at July 10, if you have not seen an offer sheet yet on Leon Draisaitl from any other team, I don't think you're going to see one.
You mean today?
Yeah, as of today, July 10, no team has offered an offer sheet on Leon Draisaitl. So I just don't think you'll see one like that, because Leon Draisaitl, I expect to be an Oiler for the next 8 years. And why do you need to do it now? Why can't it happen a little bit? I just assume that, you know, they would have got the stuff done and you would have saw a very quiet summer. But
yeah,
there's still some noise to be made in the Edmonton area for the Oilers.
Keeping with that, with whatnot, Kevin Klein, who was a defenseman for Nashville and New York Rangers, has retired after 12 seasons.
Yep. He retired.
So, good for him, I guess.
Well, I mean, they did get
32 or something like that.
I mean, they did sign Shattenkirk, so...
Exactly.
I think they're okay.
Yeah, I think they'll be all right. Also,
maybe my boy Nick Holton has a better chance of getting a little bit more ice time, which good for him. He deserves it.
Yes. Except for when he scores in his own net.
Well, he didn't do that. That's Steve Smith.
Or coughs it up.
Yeah, he just had a stupid play in the offensive zone.
Yeah. San Jose Sharks had a guy who was 5'3" at their development camp, which goes to show you, height not necessarily always a thing.
Small chance of making that team.
Yes, but I showed that to Mrs. Manite just to show her that, you know what, you still have a chance. I don't know at what, but you still have a chance.
Does she?
No, not a chance. Also, the last thing I have for hockey is the national anthem singer doesn't want to be associated with them anymore because she got bumped for all these country stars in the playoffs. Which, okay, see you later. It's a city of country singers. I'm sure they'll find another one.
Yeah. What a tool.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I think that was the biggest fail. Instead of getting super upset, like, I personally can understand why you would be mad that you're not getting that opportunity. And by no means does this person need to feel like, you know, I'm happy that somebody replaced me.
No.
But also take an advantage that you have the opportunity now to, you know, watch people clearly at a higher stage of that profession than you, not replace you, but also do your do what you do on a day-to-day basis, and therefore you have an opportunity to ask questions, learn, get advice, little things like that, and become better at your craft, but shows the other route to be a whiny little bitch.
I agree. And I know people out there are saying, what can you ask what your craft is singing a national anthem? But you'd be surprised.
Yeah. Here's an idea. How can William Hung become a good singer? Learn how to sing would help. And let's face it, day one of American Idol, when you saw Carrie Underwood, yeah, she had potential. Now, she's the queen of country. So,
sexy queen.
Yeah.
Sexy!
Little bit of all right.
Little bit of all right.
Yeah.
That's all I got. Is that all you got?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you got upcoming?
Well, I got PPW this week, this Saturday. We got Pure Power Wrestling. That's what the PPW stands for, people. It's not Parish Pro Wrestling.
Oh, well. Yeah. You can argue it.
Yeah. So, at this point, I'm not too sure who I'm facing. You know, I've had some run-ins with, you know, the Irishman. You know, just
that
like...
That guy's a knob gobbler.
He is a knob.
Big old cock holster.
He's an Irish idiot. That's, you know, yes. The double I. Idiotic Irishman is also what I say. Just a fat man.
Just a big old semen sucker.
Yeah, there you go. I could not say it any better. He's also a twat.
Vaginal discharge.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe I'll run into that little guy and just beat him up a little bit.
Little guy.
Yeah. He'll be like, give me your belt. And he'll be like, okay.
Then, exactly.
So.
Okay, boy. Yeah.
Here's my belt. I'm a little bitch.
Well, I upcoming.
What about you?
Upcoming, I can't say for sure, but I may or may not have just secured a color commentary gig.
Oh, really?
Really, yes. I might be heading down somewhere, we'll say, central Alberta for a little bit of color commentary, and then maybe an appearance or two.
Color. Interesting. Yes. You're going to bring the red, green, orange. You're going to bring the Roy Biv to the commentary booth.
Yes. I'm going to bring more color than that.
Damn. So, yeah. Congratulations. So
thank you. I appreciate that. So that's I think it's something of a trial basis, but we'll of course I will
keep me posted.
Let me know
what kind of tool you have to work with, and we'll just punch him out and I'll take over for him.
Imagine that, some tag struggle on commentary. That'd be a little bit of alright.
It'll be strugglicious, bitch.
Exactly.
So after Pure Power Wrestling, I do have CWC July 29th. I mean, we can talk about that in the upcoming weeks. That's it. The company can't even find an opponent for me. And I'm the damn champion. People should be lining up.
I agree.
I mean, I'm Whitney Houston. I'm waiting for my lines here, people.
I hope you're not Whitney Houston. That means you're going to die soon.
Well, I mean, at my coffee table. I mean, it's getting pretty lonely without its lines.
Yes, I agree.
Give me my lines.
And your ballot.
Kind of feel like Randy Orton. I need my lines. Don't know my lines.
Exactly.
So,
that's about all I got for this week. But
speaking of Randy Orton, one hell of a retweet not too long ago. WWE Creative 18 writes, WWE 2K18 is so realistic that Brock Lesnar only wrestles 5 times a year. And Randy Orton retweets that, and I thought that was really funny.
That is hilarious. That is a little bit of all right.
Yeah. So, good job, Randy Orton. You're becoming a little bit of all right on the Twitter.
On the Twitter.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think this does it for episode 31.
Yeah, bud.
Please,
follow us on our Twitters.
But at the same time, man, this is a little important message to, the Edmonton Sport Podcast Network. I'm getting a little bored out of the hashtag whatever struggles as the name of our episodes. I think that's a little bit boring.
Yeah, you can do better. Quit copping out.
Yeah, you can. How about at least call this one the Great Balls of Struggle?
Struggle Balls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about that one? Yes. Goodness gracious, Great Balls of Struggle. Just fits, doesn't it?
Like a glove.
Yes. And
also coming up August 3rd, we have our first annual MPW Renegade Tag Team Tournament.
August 5.
Is it 5?
5.
Oh, I'm right there. It's 5, yeah. Anyways, I have tickets, you have tickets. Come find us. Yeah. It's going to be a little bit of all right as we repeat as tournament winners and tag team
champions. Wait, rewind that.
Repeat as tournament winners and tag team champions.
But become the first inaugural winners of the new looking MPW tag team titles.
They are a lot of all right.
Yeah.
They are nice.
Pretty big.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm a ball sack when I wear them.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, grab your tickets. You can find me at Chris Parrish on the Twitter. You can also message me on the Facebook if you're lucky enough to be my friend. If you're not lucky enough to be my friend, message me anyway. I will sell you some tickets. It's okay. $15 advance, people. Message us. Make sure you hit up WrestleManiac. He has some as well.
Yes, at WrestleManiac, or I believe Sean Martins have some too. At Sean Martins.
There you go.
S-H-A-U-N.
Or follow us on the tag Struggle.
For all of our tag struggle needs.
Yeah.
Or if you want to know more about this podcast, just tune in on Twitter to @tagstrugglesos.
Yes, and if you go to whatamaneuver.net and buy any of our One World Empire merchandise or struggle merchandise specifically, nothing else.
Just those two.
Yes. I'm not talking to anybody else other than Daniel here.
Moron!
If you buy our stuff, take a picture of yourself wearing our gear. We will follow you on the Twitter.
Make sure you tag us too, because if I don't see it, I can't follow.
Exactly. That's all we ask. You support us, we support you. That's how we roll. We're good people. You just don't want to fuck with us, right?
Yeah. Don't fuck with me, bitch.
Don't mess with the struggle, because we're going to be forced to help you, because we are the struggle.
We are real.
Well, we're tag struggle.
Ya-da.
We're real.
And, most importantly, spectacular!
Let up, bitches!